is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody, and Merry Christmas! Well, or blessed celebration of Jesus' birth, or blessed any day, as is your choice. With the Great Shalom, we are not taking sides here, so we want this to be accessible to all. But anyway, for those of you who don't object, may you have a blessed Christmas. So, I'm going to talk about today, don't be robbed of your best Christmas gift. Now, of course, we take caution. We take some appropriate prudence, consideration to be sure that our Christmas gifts aren't stolen. We don't put in the paper that we're going away. We lock up our houses. We have burglar alarms. We so and so. We don't leave an empty house with an unlocked door and all our Christmas gifts, because we know then our family may not have their gifts. But what is the best Christmas gift of all? Is it not Emmanuel, God with us? Of course, we celebrate God sending his very son, Jesus, who incarnated, walked this earth, taught us, died, and rose again for us. That's what we're celebrating. Even though we know he wasn't born on December the 25th. But anyway, we know that's what it's about. But what is the greatest, assuming we're going to use the whole story of Christmas, what is the greatest gift? Is it not Emmanuel, God with us? That Jesus promised to be with us is our greatest gift. Jesus came in the flesh and knows what it's like to be a human being, a limited human being, and I think it's not easy. But anyway, and I'm grateful that we have a God who cares that much to understand what we're going through, who even has lived in this fallen world. And no other God story claims anything of that nature. And I teach that, that's overly big. I understand Jesus to have taught that we are supposed to go thou and do likewise, that we are supposed to grow up in him. And of course, we can do nothing without him, but we are not without him, and he flows through us through the Holy Spirit. And so, that how could we even consider such a thing, except that Jesus lived in this fallen world and in a body like we have? And in fact, this is the greatest comfort and the greatest challenge, because Jesus did. And I don't want to make light of that, but today I want to focus on the fact that he is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, walking beside us. Of course, he's with us in terms of praying for us in heaven. Occasionally we hear that he shows up and talks to people. Hallelujah. When you see Jesus, that's amazing. And we do hear these things. And of course, we know that the Lord sent his servants, the angels, to serve us. And so very much is with us. But we have been robbed. We have been robbed of this Christmas gift, Emmanuel, God with us, because we go around without a sense of that. Don't you feel that? I guess there are some people. Yes, I know some people who are able to walk around in the Spirit most of the time. But even some of the greatest ministers I know, they get tired after they've prayed for thousands of people. They are tired. They want to go home and rest, and I don't blame them. But I'm afraid I'm not even to that level, that I am in the Spirit all of the time except when I am. Although I will say, when I get very tired, that's the worst of it. But it occurred to me, we've been robbed because that's the greatest gift. And we've been promised that Jesus is with us. And if Jesus is with us, then I want to claim it and feel it and know it. And not have to go around blindly doing the best I can until some other time. I'm reminded of that book, Hannah Hernard's Hinds Feet on High Places. And when I read it when I was young, oh, I thought it was wonderful. And then a few years ago, I read it. Oh, and I had to put it down. Oh, that's just terrible. She's walking through horrible places by herself. Finally, she sits down and calls on the Lord. And I thought, what a horrible thing. If you know you can call on the Lord, then keep calling on him. And I thought, I don't like this story. Well, okay. So, similar thought today. We have been robbed. We've been robbed. Now, you know very well that we've been robbed of healings because we've been told stories. We've been told all kinds of stories. And you're aware of this. People say, oh, well, it's the Lord's will. No, it is not the Lord's will that you or anyone you know is sick. No. You smoke too much, you might get heart disease or lung cancer. But that's not God's will. And if you have prayed and you have not received your healing, don't make up a story and then take healing away from someone else. Keep praying, find out what's wrong. And of course, I'm reminded of the story of somebody said Jesus is going to save him from the flood, and there came a boat, and then it came a helicopter, and then they came something else. And when he got to heaven, he said, well, Jesus, I thought you were going to save me. And Jesus said, well, I sent a boat and helicopter and whatever else. So I say, I believe in healing. And we'll take it any way it comes. So I know you are believing for yourself or for your children. So whether it's miraculous, whether it's better health management, whether it's a new way of learning, whether it's some witty idea, find the answer, let the Lord download the answer, etc. And so we just know that he took our griefs and bore our sorrows. And this includes the Hebrew specifically includes the kind of bodily infirmities, sickness and disease. So we know that this is included in the atonement. I don't care about what your theology is, because that's what the Bible says. So my theology is going to line up with the Bible. And I think most of you agree with this. So you know that there's lots of stories. I can't tell you the number of times I've sat in churches that say they believe in healing, but then there is an if and but, you know, and it's more casuistry than the chancellery. It's ridiculous. And then I'm thinking of one here in town. They've just changed their minds, and they just completely deny that a charismatic would necessarily believe in healing, and they preach against it. Well, that's not what their founder says anyway, or acts, but that's what the pastor today says, and the new generation just says something else. Well, and of course I've had it thrown in my face. Oh, you believe that, but you've only been in this way a few months. Excuse me, no. No, I started believing in healing when I was like 10, and I'm like 63. So, no, you can't say that. Oh, and then they just walk quickly down the hall. So, don't be robbed. Don't be robbed because of stories. And just like healing, same with the Holy Spirit. You probably are aware that there are other people who have other kinds of theology, and they think that you can't hear from the Holy Spirit, or that maybe you might, but you certainly can't have a gift of supernatural word of knowledge or prophecy or whatever. Forget it. I don't care what they say. You can read the black print on the white page, so just believe it. Don't have a story. And don't tell your own self a story like, oh, well, you know, sometimes when revival is on, we feel the Holy Spirit, but, you know, it's just a visitation. One day there will be a habitation. Poppycock! Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is a new idea to me. I mean, I know these scriptures, right? But we've been believing that in the future we'll become a habitation. I'm going to claim it now. I am not going to be robbed. And if I feel, next time I feel like, I'm, you know, out on assignment in the far reaches of the forest, and I wish I were back at the fort where the Spirit of the Lord is and the family of the Lord is. Well, I might not be with the family of the Lord, but Jesus is with me through the person of the Holy Spirit and will never leave me or forsake me. And, you know, somebody says, well, you shouldn't go up feeling up. Forget that. I'm claiming the presence of the Lord. And I want to feel it, know it, and be led by it. Okay, so yes, it's not about feelings. Yes, fine. But I want to know it so that I'm led by the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't see why I shouldn't feel in the Spirit. You know, there was once a time when I thought so. So why not now? I am not going to be robbed of the best Christmas gift, Lord Emmanuel. And so that's what I am encouraging you. Okay. So, that's your Christmas gift. Be blessed with the knowledge of God. How does this relate to learning disabilities? I know that the going gets hard. Your kid is in school. It's hard. You have unbelieving people and spirits all about you. And an assignment's hard. And a teacher says a horrible thing. I know how it is. Or you're at work and the computer just doesn't work and you've been working hard and your boss is cross and you think he thinks you're lazy. I understand how it is. But I'm not going to be robbed. I am going to walk in the joy of the Lord. And when I fall down, I'm going to get up. And it's the same with learning disabilities. So you are not disabled. So I have not said those words very much the past 12 years, but it's clear to me that I need to be more clear. So, you're not disabled entirely. You may not be able to do one or two things as well. Okay, I get that. That's what we're calling the disability, but you're not a disabled person, right? You have a challenge. We all have challenges, by the way. We are all differently abled. So, and even special abilities can be difficult. So, what do? You step back and say, the Lord is with me. Lord, download to me what I need. Whether that's a miracle, whether that's a healing, something you're going to grow out of, or whether that's a witty invention or a new way of doing something, use your skill to address the weakness, whatever it is. The Lord will give you wisdom. We're also told that the Lord always answers that prayer. So, this is your Christmas gift. The best Christmas gift is Lord Emmanuel, God with us. And He is Lord Adonai. He's not Baal, the boss, but Lord, dear, our dear, dear one who takes care of us. Okay? Hallelujah. So we are facing a new year. There is much that I want to talk with you about that. So the next move of God, I am told, I've been told by a person, is transformation. And I believe it very much because of my assignments, the things that I am speaking of now, talking about sonship. And Jesus is our pattern son. So I'm hoping to do this in a better way, not leaving Jesus behind and trying to walk out sonship in some sort of legalism, twisted perversion. Sonship means that we, of course, we've been adopted into the family of God, but then we grow into mature sons. And how is that? By letting Jesus live through us in the person of the Holy Spirit. and growing up into the head, who is Jesus. So, and yet we know that wheat and the tares grow together. And the same speaker who said the next move of God is transformation said that the deception, be careful because the deception is going to be strong this next year. Oh, I'm thinking, can it be stronger than it is? Can it be stronger than it is already? We need sanity clause to come. That's, again, not original with me. But please, in this next year, work on your maturity, work on your assignments. Bring Jesus into your vocation and be a good citizen. Go vote. Be properly informed, and you will not be informed unless you love the truth. Vote your conscience if you have the time and ability. It doesn't take a whole lot of ability. Work in the appropriate way for the elections. So, I'm going to particularly suggest that if it's possible for you, when it's possible, work also for better public education. So we have tremendous yawning gap, a great deficit in our public education system. And it's not doing the functions that it was intended to do, which is to teach literacy and character. It's not doing that. And teaching people so that they can compare the Bible with public policy and ensure that public policy lines up with the Bible. That is, in fact, what Satan, Old Deceiver Act, first public school act, said, and in the colony of Massachusetts. So we need better education, and we need, and I thank God for the reforms brought about and the expansion of private education, and may that tribe continue, but we need better public education. And it's not always easy to determine even how to vote. The contrary things people say, and then the contrariness of what they do, and the limits, apparent limits, of what to do with the state budget is difficult. But let us pray that the Lord gives us wisdom and gives those who are in charge wisdom and good counsel, and that if the Lord can move the heart of Pharaoh, then the Lord can move the heart of all civil magistrates. And so I think you probably know what I'm talking about. So let's pray. We have been exhorted to pray for presidents. Let's also pray for everybody. Let's pray. In Texas, we have a state board of education. I don't know that every state is organized in the same way. And of course, we have superintendents over our local school districts and principals and so forth, and down to the teachers. We need to pray for all of them. And many years ago, I had the founder of a group of women that prays for their local school, and hallelujah. And I myself have been asked to come to a prayer meeting, women who were praying for their Christian private school. And so let's make every effort in this area, because it appears to me that Satan would like to dismantle the very foundations of Western civilization. And nowhere better to enslave the hearts and minds of widespread number of the population than taking hold of public school. I think that's what we've seen. So let us not be robbed of the great traditions that we were granted in Western civilization. The traditions from even from antiquity in the synagogue school and the philosophy of the Greeks and Romans, where there is something useful. Not everything is useful there. And then the wonderful step forward in the Reformation, sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia. And then the Great Awakening and the great step forward we made in governance when our founders were soaked in the Great Awakening, quite contrary to what I was told. I was taught in public school that they were deists, and of course this is flatly false. And so since I'm talking about that, and I just heard somebody say, oh yes, but what about Jefferson? Even if Jefferson and Franklin were deists, and I think that's highly questionable, so what? That makes two out of many, many who were clearly men of the cloth. Jefferson did cut up the gospel, but he was making a non-repetitive single book with which to evangelize Native Americans. And Franklin's request for prayer during the Constitutional Assembly, by all accounts, was heartfelt. And it's not like they adjourned for 5 minutes. No, they hired a minister, went across the street, got on their knees, prayed, and were preached to. I mean, it was a big deal. So, yeah. And we know that Washington was extremely devout. Okay, so sanity clause. Don't be robbed of the Christianity of Western traditions and of our nation and in our public schools. Okay, so don't be robbed. Also, I think that we're going to move forward in a different way in this broadcast. From the inception, I wondered if I should style this more to look more secular and so that it could be more evangelistic. And in this day and age, I think that decision is clear. The Great Shalom name is confusing to many. They think it's something to do with Jewish roots and, you know, blessings on all of. But that's not what we're doing. Of course, now, if you looked at the website and you saw Isaiah 54 and 13, all our offspring shall be taught of the Lord, great shall be their shalom, then you'd understand this is about children. But Jews and Messianic and a lot of Christians, many people are confused. And so I'm going to rebrand it. We're going to have a new name. And I did tell you how the Isaiah 54 and 13 name came to be. I was, you hear about the testimony of my grandchildren. But in that same time frame, those same weeks, of course, my daughter was in that accident too, and I was sitting in the waiting room waiting for my daughter to have her ankle patched up, and the gal from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I don't care whether you like him or not, they helped me out, and I'm going to honor them for that. Anyway, so she came, and she was waiting with me, and she was encouraging me in prayer, and she gave me a book, and she gave me this verse on how to pray. This verse, Isaiah 54 and 13, she said, this is the verse you could pray over your children, great shalom. And so I appreciated that, and that's why I named this broadcast that. But we're going to rebrand. We're going to call it something more like Overcoming Learning Disabilities. And many of my friends and acquaintances are not going to like that. They're going to say, oh, this is not a ministry anymore. Now this is a business. And I told you about the time when I had a free website, and unbeknownst to me, WordPress put an ad on it. And so some guy wouldn't let me on his radio station because I was too commercialized. He was going to charge me, and I was doing everything free, but I was too commercialized. That was just puzzling and hurtful to me at the time. But anyway, never mind. So other people are going to say, blah, blah, blah. I am not going to be robbed. I want to reach out and help people. And I feel that we will reach out to more people if I style it this way, that I'm helping learning disabled kids. And it's high time that the broadcast is sustainable, because it's not sustainable the way it is. And it's not according to scripture for me to pay for everything. So we'll expand in a way that can reach more people. And I thank God I've reached as many people as I have. Back in the old days when I first started podcasting, and that was, what, 10 years ago, I guess I was a leader, but I didn't know that at the time. On Podbean, I had over 6,000 subscribers on each of my two channels. And Joyce Meyer's one podcast had the same amount, about 6,000. And so that was just amazing to me. And people said, oh, no, that can't possibly be true. But when things messed up on one of the Podbean channels, then you know what? Those subscribers, like human beings, went over to the other channel. Mm-hmm. So I was robbed. I was told, oh, no, you don't have that many. Well, I did. And of course, we're not competing with the top most popular podcasts now, and that's not the issue. But I am thankful for the thousands upon thousands who do subscribe, So, would love to have, I am not a 501c3 anymore either, because that didn't even pay for itself. I would love to have some help. Pray for us, but mostly pray that we can help children, and particularly their mothers, because nobody, so few, are helping children with learning problems. And of course, I care about learning problems any age, and whatever they're called. But pray for them first, for me second. And if you'd like to support this effort, great. I could use some intercessors who are trustworthy. I could use some audio editing. All right. And in the meantime, I say, may you be blessed. Merry Christmas. Come to the website. It's still www.greatshalom.org. You can still get some digital material there, and you can click through, and you can get some printed books too. That might be very helpful. Maybe Christmas gifts. greatshalom.org. greatshalom.org. Click through. You can get a book or some electronic downloads. May you be blessed. And this is Sharon Sorrell saying that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.